Peta Jones?
Here.
Senator Ziegler?
Here.
Senator Ray?
Here. There's a court present for our businesses. Sponsor substitute Senate Bill 241. We have the Fullest Committee substitute. The salient points, I suppose, are access to adoption information. Started on page 1, line 18. Upon receipt by the state registrar of a request by an adopted person 18 years or older for information identifying an adopted person's biological parents, the state registrar shall give notice of the request of the biological parents by certified mail deliverable to the addressee only. Information identifying a biological parent shall be disclosed to an adopted person 18 years or older and certified mail sent to a biological parent is returned to the state registrar undelivered, or if the state registrar has not received a written objection from a biological parent under this subsection. Written objection by a biological parent is received by the state registrar within 30 days. That's a 30 days notice. Then the state registrar may not disclose the identifying information on that biological parent to an adopted person unless disclosure is ordered by the court. State registrar shall provide the adoptive following non-identifiers, which is 10 non-identifiers, which will be on every birth certificate and available to everybody. The age of the biological parent at birth of the adopted person, not the birth date of the biological parent. The heritage of the biological parent, including national origin, ethnic background, and race. Health history, education, general physical appearance, talents, hobbies, especially interests. Siblings, brothers and sisters. Whether the parental rights of the biological parent were voluntarily relinquished or involuntarily terminated. I don't know. That's on line 29, page 2. Says whether the parental rights of the biological parent were voluntarily relinquished or involuntarily terminated. I don't know what business that would have on a birth certificate or for information. I don't think that should be on here. It has no. Could somebody explain to me the need there? I don't understand why you would have to put that on. Do you, counselor, do you know what?
No, I don't.
Does any member of the committee? That I would suggest we strike that identifier because then we can't get reason for it.
Remember some of those sections.
Right. The legal relationship, if any, between the biological parents. Should make a determination whether the child is legitimate or illegitimate, I suppose. I suppose that has a standing in law somewhere. Is that it? Or does it? I'm asking for information.
I think it does, and not this state, maybe others.
Yeah. I think it's necessary to say whether the child is of a legitimate marriage or not.
Excuse me, sir. On number 8, it was to say whether the parents have been dead or alive, voluntary terminated.
Well,
whether the parents were alive, yeah. I mean, they were trying to figure out a way to say whether the parents were alive or dead.
Well, why didn't they put it down, whether the parents are alive or dead? It seemed to me,
I didn't write
the bill. Well, I can see that might be whether both parents were alive or dead. I can understand that.
I don't think that's what it says, though. Don't say that.
So why don't we put that in there in place of age? What is put what?
I think our interpretation is wrong. I don't think that's what they're trying to say. I think what it says, here's what they've said.
Yeah, I was just told that. Because
well, I mean, if you read it, it said,
yeah.
You voluntarily give up your child, or would you force to give up one too? That's the question that appears to me.
Right.
Well, as long as we eliminate that, we'll put whether they were alive or dead in the place of that.
That's why I put that.
I think it's necessary to find out whether the parents were alive or dead.
Well, the mother was alive at birth.
Not at the time of the adoption, might not have been.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think that's necessary myself. All right. So we'll substitute live or dead in place of me. Your point is well taken, Dick. I understand what you're saying to that. That seems to be about the main changes, and it seems to be the only compromise that we can reach that without bringing down both sides. Neither side will be happy, so it means that we struck a balance. would Excellent, Mary, did you want to just more testimony on this new proposal?
Certainly.
Okay. You know the procedure?
Yes, sir.
In fact, we're getting ready to make you a member of the committee. A couple more appearances.
Right, I've been here a few times.
Refreshing change, I may add.
My name is...
For the result.
Hi.
Take a seat.
My name is Joyce Lanier, and I repeat again, I'm a adopted parent. I appreciate all the work the committee has gone to in changing this bill. However, I just want to go on the record as saying I still support the unrestricted access of the adopted child to his original birth certificate.
Are there any questions? Thank you, Ms. Lanier. Ray Smith?
With my right?
Hey, Smith. Who are you? Oh, my. For the education, of some of the members, Ms. Smith is my son's wife's mother.
Consolation.
You say consolation?
He has a fine son.
I'm sure he does.
You notice that the father didn't enter into the discussion.
I got that.
Kay, would you give your record, your relationship or whatever your official capacity is, please?
Well, presently, my capacity is Interstate Compact Coordinator and Adoption Coordinator for the State of Alaska, Department of Health and Social Services. You spoke about rules. Is there something I should know?
No, ma'am. Just give whatever testimony that you believe to be relevant to the bill and ask any questions or provide any information you desire.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. I've been a number of years in the field of adoption, more years than I care to remember. But on the other hand, I think it does give me some advantage to speak with a certain degree of authority. There's been a lot of change in philosophy, and I believe that the present system of access to the certificate of birth is more responsive as it stands to the human need of knowing who I am. I would like to point out that obtaining the birth certificate does not provide a map to the doorway of the biological parent, whether it's the father or the mother. On the birth certificate, there's the biological name of the child. I might be redundant here in repeating all this. If you'd rather, I didn't, but I'll skip to something else.
You can do whatever you want.
Okay.
Feel at ease and whatever's most comfortable for you.
Okay. The birthplace of the child, whether it was single or multiple births, and whether there were other siblings at the time of the child's birth. This is important for 15. It has the place for the father's name, race, age, birthplace, and usual occupation. The place for the mother's name, race, age, birthplace, usual residence. Physician's name, and this is most important, the following information for medical purposes, length of pregnancy, birth weight, any required blood tests if they were taken, drops used in the eyes, any birth injury or congenital malformation, and any complications in pregnancy or labor. Now, there has been concern expressed by those who have proposed this bill that it destroys the right to confidentiality that the mother was promised at the time she relinquished. I would like to state that confidentiality was effectively changed 12 years ago with the Stanley versus Illinois decision, which I'm sure Senator Ziegler is familiar with. This is where an unwed father begot a number of children. The woman died, and he demanded the right to raise the children himself. He was denied this in an Illinois court. It was taken to the Supreme Court in the United States, and it was reversed. It said that an unwed father did have the right at least to prove his fitness as a parent. Therefore, he has the right of notification any time there is a planned relinquishment. And this is the law of the land, which means that if he is not available There is publication in a newspaper, his last place of residence. So there's also search for him. So there, and so since this happened 12 years ago, social workers have certainly advised the relinquishing mother that now he has to be involved, therefore other people are involved, therefore we don't have the same confidentiality we were able to promise at one time. The national trend is to open adoption records, and other people have already spoken to this. I read of a recent court decision in an eastern state, I don't remember which one it was, where the judge gave visiting rights to a mother who had relinquished her child for adoption if it was not harmful to the child. He stated that adoption is a shield, not a sword. Now, I know you've changed this bill somewhat, and I haven't had a chance to review it, but out of curiosity, what would happen if one parent executes a statement of approval that the record can be divulged, but the other parent doesn't?
Ms. Smith, it's my intent to delineate the information on the access to adoption, says that it will notify the parents, and it's my intention to suggest that they notify the mother only. She's the one that, at least in my estimation, bears the burden. She is the one that made the determination in the first place, particularly to carry the child. She has a choice through abortion or carrying the child to term, and once she makes up the decision, then when she gets to the point where she's carried the child to term, but through whatever circumstances prevail at that time, she must give that child up for adoption, then I think that she is the one that bears the strongest burden as the mother. The father, of course, has equal rights as a parent, but as far as the determining factor on it, I think the mother is the one that would hold sway, at least in my estimation. I see some shaking of heads among the committee members, so we might have some arguments there. If you expect both parents to get it, then you have a dichotomy again. One would say yes, perhaps one would say no, and nothing would happen. I don't know.
I think if either says no,
there's another opinion.
I didn't hear that.
Ms. Smith, I said if either biological parent says no as to divulging information, I think that would be the controlling factor. I realize in this group I'm completely out of step, but that's how I feel.
No, I think Senator Pettyjohn is agreeing with you at this time, right?
No, I don't think so, Mr. Chairman. No, I'm not sure, but it would seem to me that that might not be good. You might have a father, biological father, who, out of spite, would attempt to prevent an adopted child from finding her biological mother.
No, then you're in agreement with me, is that it?
No, I'm not agreeing with you either.
This is the third position.
Yes.
That's partly correct, Mr. Sherman.
Send me a last.
Well, I guess my concern really is with the adopted child more than the parent, either the male or female. I think we're looking at child's rights when they reach a certain age. I think that we should probably concentrate on that aspect of it more than trying to protect someone after 20 years.
Well, you have the basic rights. You have the two basic rights, the right to privacy and the right to know. And you have this dichotomy, and somewhere in the middle there was where I thought we could reach an agreement.
I tend to agree with you as much as the burden.
Oh,
in most cases.
Well, you sounded better than
it was. But nevertheless, I'm inclined to be as lenient as possible to allow this information, make this information available.
The only reason we're using this approach is it is an attempt to find the middle road after 18 years, conditions change, and then if you just have a flat ban on it, a parent might not even bother with it. But if you do notify them and they would want to see him, they say, yeah, okay, that's fine. That's
well,
no problem.
Let's say that both biological parents are alive at the time the seeking child attains the age of 18. What would be wrong with saying that either
three people. We have three people who are most concerned. We have the child and the two parents. And I would think the majority, the consensus of the majority of those three would carry it, would prevail. In other words, if two wanted it, okay. And then the child and the mother.
Well, but we're talking about two separate things here, Mr. Chairman, and I agree with Senator Ziegler. You're talking about the privacy of two separate individuals, the privacy of the biological
father. She could give
her
for the father,
privacy of the biological mother.
I see what you're saying.
With regard to the biological mother, she will control
okay.
whether or not she can be contacted by her biological child. The biological father will control whether he can be contacted by his biological child. Neither one will be able to veto what happens to the other.
Fine. Yes, ma'am.
You're creating a problem.
I had one question.
Yeah.
Legally, I think Joan Brooks has said that if it happens to be a married woman and the biological father is not her husband, on the birth certificate it has her legal husband's name listed as the father of the child. So you'll be asking the wrong person in that case. In many instances.
And you'll have to get an answer you don't want.
Then in many cases, once you unlock that door, the child can ask her mother. If the father objects, the child could ask her mother, well, who is my father? There's nothing prohibiting her from saying, Senator Ziegler.
That might have been true 20 years ago.
But the point being, of course, once you unlock that key, you know, you can't hold the information back because, you know, they can transmit that among themselves. So really, whether one or two sign up doesn't make that much difference.
One thing we can all agree upon, this is a real, real knotty problem. And I don't know whether there's a perfect answer or not. I'm beginning to suspect that there is not. Mr. Chairman, to give these due is trying to find an accommodation for everybody, and I'm not so sure it can be done.
Have to have two birth certificates, one with just the mother's identifying information and the other is the father's. How would you do that?
Would that follow? We don't release the
birth certificate.
No,
I didn't read your.
No, just instead of a certificate with information on it. That's all. As far as the certificate is.
Is that what it is?
That's my intent.
Obviously,
it's
information.
Yeah, it's just access to adoption information. That's all.
Identifying information.
Identifiers. Yeah, it's not identifiers, but it's information that is of concern and use to the individual, to the adoptee.
Parent is singular.
Right. If one or the other parents don't want to be officially, come on. So the father says, yeah, well, your mother was so-and-so. So that's the end of that.
there's danger.
Who's the father? Well, the father was Charlie Brown. Yeah, okay.
There's that danger.
You got me on.
There's no question. Once you let an adopted child contact either one of her parents or their parents, that's unavoidable. And I think that where Senator Eliason is coming from, and I agree with him, is that is the price that we're willing to pay to allow the adopted child to.
Can you see out of spite?
Sure, absolutely.
One or the other would want to tell the other one, and the other one wouldn't want to know. So that's why I have a tendency to rely on the mother more than anything else. Yes, ma'am.
There's one thing that is reality here, I think we haven't talked about, and that very few of these adoptees that have searched find their actual parents. So usually, as soon as they get the name, they can't run right out and find their mother and say, who's my father? Because I don't know what percentage of them find it, but some of them take as much as 8 or 10 years searching, and they don't always find them. So it's a very small number that maybe even want to search beyond just having the name and having a certificate like everyone else.
I would like to see the adoptee provided with a, causes more work for somebody I know, the name of the International Registry for Adoption in Carson City, Nevada. And this is where an adoptee can register their name. And if there is a match, in other words, if either biological parent is searching them, they match them up and they put them together.
Okay, I've been in the legislature for 27 years, and this is the first time I've ever heard of that, so I'm a healer.
How many?
Well, let's switch it for 20 years.
Well, it didn't start 20 years ago, Senator.
Pardon?
It didn't start 20 years ago. It's just with this national.
But I mean, how many people know about it?
Well, I'm just saying, okay, when people write and say, I want to find my antecedents, or I want to know my biological name, this information could be given to them in addition to the information.
Right. Ma'am?
The state of New York has that system. You write to all of the, either the adopted parent or the child, and if there is on record that they're both seeking each other, they give each other the information.
That's what we said here, real close to the New York system.
I do that here, too, in the state of Alaska. But I guess I'm talking about international systems.
All right, I might as well take the burden of it. I am in favor of the committee substitute as written with the stipulation in there that you notify both parents. Did you notify both parents? It's in there.
I think it's in there. Have the right to request that the information be...
The information concerning them?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's what we did.
No problem with it. Can't be any worse than what's happening now, can it?
Well, I think it could. It's happening now. That's it all at that. That's the whole point.
That's the point. What's happening now, yes, what happened. What's happening now is that there is a regulation that is subverting the law. That is the one thing that's sticking in my craw, and I can't accept that, and I will not accept it.
Well, Senator, it's true. Mm-hmm. We have a regulation that is in violation of the state law. I'm not interested in changing the law. I'm interested in going to the regulation and change it. That's a problem.
But we're doing here fairly close to what the regulation is doing by law. Just one other step, and that's a notification rather than just the opening up the files. We're doing just about what it's doing now, only with the one additional step of the notification. Do you have something else, okay? Thank you very much. Jan? I hope you'll forgive me the familiarity, but we've been going back and forth and so on. And, like,
I hope it can be settled soon. Jan Ivy, I live in Juneau. I'm an adopted mother and a biological mother. I have a couple of questions for you because I, with all the snow, I couldn't get here much before time for this meeting, but I understand that it's retroactive.
This starts, as it will start when this bill becomes law, it will start from that point forward.
So all adoptees in the past?
I suppose it's
still be able to.
I don't know what those
effective dates are.
Oh, do we have an effective date in here?
Right.
I'm sorry. January 1st, 1985, 1 year.
The personal problem I have with that is that I carefully checked into what the policy was in the past, and I have raised my two teenage daughters. And I think there are other adoptees and adopted families that have the same understanding of, and have raised our children with the idea that they could just have a birth certificate or an actual. I know it would be extremely upsetting, and I would have never done so had I thought that this would abruptly change. And I don't know really how I'll be able to handle it.
Well, yeah, I can sympathize with you, and I do. But you were making plans that was against the existing law, and were being allowed by regulation, which was counter to the existing law. But under the existing law, you don't have the right.
Well, sure.
When this law becomes effective, it will mean that your daughter. At the time, when she's 18 years old, can make the request to the registrar. The registrar will send a certified letter to each of her biological parents. If either one of those biological parents does not object to the information being given to your daughter will receive it. It is only if both biological parents notify the department after receiving this notice that neither one want her to find them.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, there's an I understand.
If one
says no, and you don't give the information on them, you just give the information on them.
Right. Oh, he was saying, right, said no, there'd be no information.
Yeah. Both said no.
Right.
That is the only circumstance under which your daughter would not be allowed access to one of her biological parents. If both of them said no. And then both of them would have been told by the registrar their child, their biological child, receiving information.
So you'll be able to, it's just 1 year, all you do is put her back 1 year. Is she 18 now?
No, she's She's 17.
Oh, well, then she'll fall right in.
Well, my other one's 14.
Well, so, you know, the other
point, too, of course, is if that was something I mentioned a moment ago about the difficulty of contacting biological parents. So if the answer is if letters return, then the information is released.
Yes, so information. It's a 30-day waiting period.
Okay.
So that's going to, you know.
And that's it?
I think the odds are really in her favor.
Yeah. Right? Just the other point I'd like to make, Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
You have raised your daughter with this expectation based on this regulation, which you were, I think, reasonable in interpreting that.
I visited the registrar.
Right. But I think the other point is that when the biological parents of your daughter put her up for adoption, they had a legitimate expectation of privacy under the laws of the state. And what we're trying to do here is balance that. Protect their expectation of privacy, legitimate expectation of privacy they had based on the law, but at the same time, give every opportunity for your daughter to get this information.
Miss
Brooks' intentions are well placed, and she's done a service, and she hasn't done anything that has created any problems that I have heard in my time, but she is causing a legal problem that she's opening up the state for a possible suit.
I have a couple other questions. We wouldn't be interested in changing the law, the state statute, to agree with what's being done.
That's what we're doing here.
Well, not completely.
No, I mean, we're working on the law. Do you have some other recommendations for us?
No, I just wanted to.
You mean to turn around and just open it up all the way, isn't it?
Well, I just wondered if it could be made like it was being, like what's being done now.
It's being done just the way it is now with the one extra step, and that's the notification of the biological parents, which gives them an opportunity within a 30-day period to say no, one or both. If one says no, the information is given on the opposite one.
Okay. Says
one.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, so it says yes. Or if nobody answers, they get the whole ball of wax.
I have a question about when they actually go to do that, then... I'm assuming, and I haven't looked at my kids' birth certificates for a while, that the birth parents' addresses are listed on them?
Lots are objecting, sir, because they want to answer quite ahead. And if it comes back unanswered, that means that information is for that particular parent who will be available.
All right. I thank you for telling me.
Jonas, wait their head no.
What is it?
Mr. Chairman, a birth record that's 18 or 20 years old may have the wrong address. A lot of those records have an agency address because the mother chose not to give a mailing address. There is no mailing address for the father on a birth record. There may be a mailing address for the mother. They may just be a community. I would say, without fear of criticism, that 95% of these letters, at least 95% after 18 or 20 years, are going to be returned to me unanswered. My question is that that's costly to the state and time-consuming, and it's not protecting the biological parents because those parents aren't, most of them are not there 18 years later. This is we're talking about an unwed mother who is 16, 17, 18, and this bill will make this procedure available to someone born in 1967. I'll bet you 10 or 1 of that mother is not living in Fairbanks or Anchorage in 1985.
All right, this brings
with
us
that name, with a maiden name.
No, but this brings to the question, how do you find so many of them?
I don't find them, Senator.
Then there's no problem, is there?
No, but I haven't had any repercussions from them concerning those records.
So they won't have any either, maybe.
The other approach is keep it confidential until they get the okay, which is totally unacceptable. Because apparently we'll never get the okay, so
we're
at least giving them a fair shot at it.
We'll have to get to that too, Senator, on that those 10 items of information.
But you're giving the information away now, Joan, by regulation. You're doing exactly what you're saying. You're giving away the information now. You're not protecting anybody now.
Exactly.
We're at least trying to provide some protection.
Is that that access to information is going to be misleading to a lot of people because by the way it's worded, it really sounds like that I'm going to have success in reaching these people by certified mail, and I don't believe I'm going to find any of them.
Doesn't say you have to.
No, but I think a lot of people are going to think. Now, biological parents may be misled by thinking that if you can't find them, a lot of people don't read all of this. Biological parents would be misled to continue to think that they're protected because of this law. And I'm saying that I'm going to get all the mail returned and then I'll release the records. And I just want the committee to understand that. I'll bet you that not 5% will be delivered.
You're releasing the records now, Joan.
Yes.
So, go back.
Yes, you may.
provide the greatest amount of protection. We're trying to give the greatest amount of protection that we possibly can and still allow for some, for the adoptee to find the information. If you could figure out a better way, well, I'm listening.
Well, of course, what we have is working, and since nobody's objected,
I'm trying to do the same thing that you're doing, except for the one extra step. And if that one extra step finds one biological parent that does not want it released, good, it's worth the effort. That's what I'm saying.
Also, Mr. Chairman, we do have a provision in the bill that allows a biological parent to update their address. So if a biological parent 15 years after the birth wants you to know where they are, they can send you that information you're required to keep.
That's what we're recommending now when anybody contacts us, both the adoptee and the biological parent.
Well, I think...
Did you make a letter of intent expressing the points that we're talking about? Page 6, subsection D on page 6 be deleted. Is there an objection? Hearing none, so ordered. I'm going to have the staff finally drop a letter of intent to outlining the selling points here, and just so that they'll give, in case she's forgotten or she won't remember how to do it, we'll give Joan some guidance, as to the intent of the legislation.
I'm going to have a little problem with the wording change on either, you know, the 10 items that are listed on page 2.
Yes.
I'm going to change the wording of under number 8 to say whether the biological parents... I understood you to say that under item 8 you're going to have the wording changed to reflect whether the parents are dead or alive.
Right.
Okay. If you note that this information, these 10 items, are going to be collected, they're going to be provided to me by the commissioner, if he can get it, he or she, or one of the agencies involved. Now, most babies are offered for adoption right after birth. The parents are alive then. But later on, I don't know. There's no way that I could tell that person whether the mother is alive or dead except to check my records.
It says under C, Joan, on line 9, if the information is...
Yeah, but 18 years later, I don't have it. I just wanted you to understand that. I have just one further concern, which we discussed last year, and that's under item...
These 10 unidentified, we'll make them as broad a range as we can. We figure if we get 3 of them, Mary, we'll be lucky.
Oh.
All
right.
On that point, who came up with the laundry list?
I don't know. I think it was prepared, and the original
social
version.
Social workers, if I'm not mistaken.
Maybe so. I really don't know.
I think San Francisco has.
I think Punch Kleinkopf brought down from Anchorage, if I'm not mistaken.
And
is it because she's curious, or
she's a social worker.
I know she's a social worker, but I mean, some of this information is.
If I can collect the information, fine. I don't have any problem except with number 10.
When I look at this, it would give you some kind of an idea if you're a Caucasian or whatever, if you're Italian, if you got sisters or brothers, if your mother or father was insane or, had some crippling defect or something, or whatever appears on the birth certificate.
Of course, this is to the option of those who are involved, not a requirement for adoption. This information we made available. But we're requiring the parents to answer these questions before they can vote.
not be granted unless this information is collected, because once that adoption is granted, I have no power at all to collect this kind of information. And I do have a problem with number 10, the legal relationship. All well and good whether or not the parents were married, but we have a number of birth records in Alaska that relate to a birth out of incest, as a result of incest, and I don't feel that that is something that is to someone's benefit to know. That's a personal opinion on my part. But I'd have to give that information out.
I guess there's some of the problems that are inherent in the whole deal, and these are some of the things that that you're going to have to suffer when you do find your biological parent. You might not like that parent at all.
Mr. Chairman, that's why I'm sort of questioning 10 different questions about it. As I recall, a testimony the other day was that the social worker was saying that essential unidentified information. Why is it essential to know what somebody's hobbies are? Is that essential information? When she was speaking of essential information as required, I was thinking more lines of medical things. But if we go into hobbies or whether you're married or not, is that essential?
Take it out.
Purpose? Six. I don't think it's essential that we know what the talents and hobbies and special interests of the biological parents are. For the sake, you know, what's essential about that?
I think why that's in there is to give the adoptees are terribly curious as to what would be about our birth parents, and they're never given pictures on there. So what I think that maybe Ms. Honeycott was trying to do was give people, not let them know their real identity, but kind of substitute this instead and say maybe it would be just as well to let them have this information.
Mr. Chairman, the problem I have, if in fact you have to fill out this question in order to enter into the adoption process, and some bureaucrat saying, hey, if you don't tell us what your hobbies are, you can't let you get up for adoption. Well, you know, that puts them in a real tight situation. I don't think it's that essential.
Maybe.
And if you're going to get the information after 18, really.
You're not going to probably get the information. Most people don't find it.
This is a laundry list of possibles that you, if you can get it.
It's a license.
Hurt if you can give it?
I think it's a license for somebody to be finding somebody else's business. It's not essential.
Well, you were just talking about this. You were just talking a minute ago about the right to know. Now all of a sudden, it's the right to privacy.
Now I'm talking about both.
Okay, balance.
I'm trying to balance, and I don't think that's essential.
Okay. Did you make a motion to delete six?
I would move to delete six.
Is there an objection? Do you object?
What I'm trying to do, Mr. Chairman, is try to make this as simple as possible without being bogged down.
Why don't we just write out a piece of paper and say you were born and let them go on about their business?
Mr. Chairman, I just don't pull the bill for next year. I mean, I don't think we have a problem. But.
Well, you'll have an opportunity to vote on that, too.
One final recommendation that we've come up with on page 2 under C. C2C, right? It's line 15. You'll note that we would be giving information on national origin, ethnic background, and race. And it's been recommended to help in many of these cases to have race and tribal membership. That's been a request made to our department.
Is there an objection to that? Okay. let's hold that off and take 341 first. So we get that out of the way, so we don't. Let's straightforward bill and just change the terminology from the Pacific to Alaska time. Where it appears the statutes.
Move it up.
Any objection? How many do pass? Now we got public advocacy. Now it's my understanding that Senator Ziegler, you and Senator Pettijohn are looking at this.
Well, I prefer to have let's talk about it because we have discussed it, yes, but I don't know where
you are
as of the moment.
Well, are you ready with those? Are you ready to bring this bill out?
Yes, except that I talked to Ms. Forsythe on the phone in Anchorage yesterday with a couple specific points on the bill. And the first one, she said she was going to be done something. She would like to change it down.
Changes are down and they're included in this. In this, yes. It wasn't changed because her and excuse me, I worked with the audience. This was not changed because it was she was in error.
She was in error.
Yes.
Well, I talked to her yesterday and she said this was an error. Now I've been informed that her identification of it as an error was an error. And
that's the old saying, two errors make a right.
That's the old saying.
I expect one to work.
Oh, I see.
Just that one point, Senator.
When did she tell you that it was an error, that she said it was an error?
At 10:25 this morning, I was with Ed Hine, and she was on the phone.
Okay. All right. Well, if it's not an error, it is. She's an error. She's an error about that.
It's the next committee on this finance.
All right. Well, then in that case, Mr. Chairman, I think the bill is ready to go out. If we've kept something, we can send a letter to the finance chairman, I imagine, and ask him to make any technical changes. That's
in substance, the bill is in order.
Yes. Yes.
Except for one thing, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Ziegler. This has nothing to do with you, of course, but here's how the misrepresentation comes to the legislature. And the legislature, all of a sudden, they find themselves faced with putting these people into a full-time working arrangement with the state. And there goes the state employees list up of these people who have been working all the time only on a contractual basis. And it'll come out in the media and the press that the legislature's increased the workforce another 25 people in the Department of Administration.
There are 8 positions will be transferred, but there will be 18 new positions added.
And those 18 are now being paid the same amount of money only on a contractual basis, right?
That's correct.
There you go.
Now, and we think it's the same amount of money. It's an estimate on our part. We don't know for sure, because unless you go back and follow each individual case and have them all up, you can't verify.
Who's going? is take away from the court system and put it in part of administration, the ongoing of it.
That would be my first speech, but just removing this program and involving conservatory guardians, et cetera.
We're still adding 18 people though, right?
Nope.
On permanent payroll.
On a permanent payroll, whether it's on a contractual basis. I hate to tell you the comment, the editorial comment I just got from somebody that raised the person. Okay? What do you want to do, sir?
Individual recommendation.
Individual recommendation. Zero objection to that. Okay, now so ordered. How many did pass? I think we did a